Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I'd like to address a letter, perhaps a tout, to WWE. WWE, I hate you.
Well, you know, there was Jimmy McMillan a couple years ago come out and said that the rent is too damn high.
Yes.
And I would like to come out and say the show is too damn long.
That is the biggest thing, absolutely, we're getting. Three straight weeks now, 9 hours, so the last 3 weeks of Raw. That is, I think, the... Like, on the Wrestling Observer, they asked what is the biggest storyline, right? Or the biggest, you know, thing to happen recently in wrestling. And it is that. That is the biggest story for me. It is too damn long. There's no question about it. And the ratings proved it, because this last Monday... The third hour, which is usually the highest rating, or the last hour is usually the highest rated. This time, people were tuning out. And the ratings showed that the rating pattern was the people were tuning out. Now, maybe that's competition, or maybe it's burnout. I think it's burnout. I think it's difficult to hold people's attention for 3 hours for a wrestling show that's pretty damn average.
I think that there, though, that had been kind of the pattern for a while now, is that the lowest hour was longer, or was lower than the second, or the second hour was lower than the first hour. And now, again, when you're talking about just slightly over 4 million viewers in the first hour, going up to 4.6, down to 4.4, I believe, were the viewers. Overall rating of 3.1, you know, whatever I said, I'm more interested in the number of viewers versus the rating, because of the way that that works. But, I mean, really, what this is proving, and again, this is 2 weeks in a row now, Raw 101, Raw 1002, and it's exactly the same as when they used to do those three-hour specials.
Pretty much, yeah.
No one watches the first hour, less people watch the first hour, and then
those were getting like a 2.6, you know, those were really low, right?
It's
those
better.
Yeah,
it
is better. People are, there's a somewhat of a sense of understanding. I think people may not be tuning in because they're not interested in the first hour. I don't think they're not tuning in because they don't know that it starts in the first hour anymore.
Well, no, I just, again,
it's too much.
I think it is too much. And if you're out on, you know, it starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we still got it at 7 o'clock, but, I mean, I find it too much. I've got to take the dog for a walk.
And I watch a tweet that's on at 6 o'clock here.
Right, that's live with the USA Network, would be 6, right? So, here. But, I mean, so the people in the U.S. that are in our time zone are possibly watching it at 6, and that's too early. You're eating dinner. You're getting home from work. You're winding down. I mean,
What am I doing at 6 o'clock today? I'm walking the dog, right?
Yeah.
You know, I get home from work, have a little bit to eat. You know, actually, I get off work, I get some groceries, I walk the dog, I have something to eat. You know, it's 6:45, right?
It's a good thing that you clarified that, because at first you said you had a little bit to eat, and we all knew that was false.
Well, I didn't say I didn't eat again after walking the dog.
That's true. Where is your dog?
Hey, baby girl, how you doing? She's right there. You want to see her? Want me to turn the camera on her?
No, I don't.
Oh, wait.
I don't need to see the carnage.
Yeah.
But I mean, and Raw, again...
How bad I'd be if I didn't have to walk that dog?
I know. Amazing. That'd be Yokozuna.
But, did you hear Jeffrey Ross is going to be on this weekend's Roast of Roseanne Barr? When he said,
nice.
he goes, he had some joke with something along the lines of, to Carrie Fisher was there. He had something along the lines of, we got to take you and tie you up to, put you in a golden bikini and tie you up to Roseanne Barr.
Nice.
That's awesome.
CD Jedi.
All right, anyways, we digress.
We do. Well, Raw.
Hey, let's talk about, speaking of digressing, let's talk about AJ's clothes for a while. It's hard to buy, you know, those size clothes, a suit for a chick that small.
Apparently.
Anyways, fuck that. Let's move on to something interesting. What were you going to say? Yes.
Well, I was going to talk about Raw, so nothing interesting.
No, that's true.
Let's just go through. There was some major things that we're not going to go segment by segment, but some of the things, We'll start at the beginning because there was a new Raw opening with the Tonight is the Night and a new kind of...
show 1002, they introduced that. That's great.
Yeah, well, anyways, whatever. I mean,
it's better.
Yeah, it's better. It's not Nickelback.
It is better. It does feel more epic. Has a more epic feel to it. That's is better.
So that's good. And then it went downhill from there. We'll talk about Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio. The dastardly heel stole the valiant babyface's car and drove it around.
No, you're wrong. It's always the babyface stealing the heel's car. Don't you remember when Stone Cold Steve Austin did this?
Right.
To The Rock?
I've
seen it before. Hey, remember when that was different than this one too, though? Because that one was entertaining.
That's true.
Yeah.
What, did Steve Austin didn't go eat Taco Bell and spill it in the car?
Ooh. Doing that little ooh.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you see? You know why? Because it's Mexican, you see.
Oh, yeah. That's true. But at least it gave them an excuse to finally, mention Tout. They got to shut the fuck up with Tout.
You know what? With the thing I will say about Tout, though, is
shut
with this
up.
Show. But at least they didn't show any of the fans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at least it was... okay, this is Sheamus on the road and he's touted, okay. And Jericho just,
And they mentioned earlier in the day, I think AJ touted something about a match. And they, and it's all over the show. I agree, there's no fans. So they don't look as retarded because the fans that they chose looked retarded because they didn't choose us.
Yes.
Telling them to fuck off. And I still don't know why.
I know, cocksuckers.
But nevertheless... Nevertheless,
but I know
it's all,
but at
all
least,
over the show, though. It's here's the
I didn't know.
I thought it's all over the show. I'm sick of it because they've managed to put it in two or three. And I understand why they're doing it. I understand that they own a piece of it and they're trying to push it. And Tout does have a chance to take off. There's one problem with Tout, though. Everything you can do on Tout, you can actually already do on Twitter, and you don't have to confine yourself to 15 seconds.
The thing is, though, is that, like, when you say, you understand why they're doing it and it has a chance to be successful, like, it's guaranteed that Tout is going to be successful because you heard Jerry the King Lawler say on Monday Night Raw, Tom Arnold is using Tout.
Yeah, well, Tom Arnold will get a bump because he is also roasting Roseanne.
Yes.
I can't wait for that show. He has a movie coming out.
Oh, yeah. That he's, like, out probably but a bit part in, I'm sure.
Pretty much, yeah. It doesn't have Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, I don't believe, so no one will see it.
That's true. But, I just think that, at least in the purpose of Sheamus, okay, he's out on the road and he's touted something, and that's okay. I could see that. It was designed to put Tout into the storyline, but at least it did, as stupid as the whole thing was, it... To the confines of the stupidity, it made sense.
Yeah, what about the Jericho one then?
Well, in the Jericho one, again, Jericho just said, he's in the middle of the match, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to, I'm going to tout this or whatever. And yeah, that to me, that one just seemed too convenient.
No shit.
You know?
I like that
I'm
going to
tout
up,
this.
I like that he gets up with his phone in order to tout this, and he holds it up. He stands on the table, and the crowd cheered like something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, but then, I mean, but that was it, and then less than 15 seconds later, it's a roll-up, and that's fine. I mean, in the whole grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. I did enjoy the commentary of Jericho.
Jericho was, that's why I watched the entire match, was to listen to Jericho. He was really good. I actually watched, instead of fast-forwarding through the match, the reason I watched the whole damn thing was because of Jericho on commentary.
And he was really good. And again, he was pushing his babyface character. The SmackDown spoilers that we'll get into a little bit later, he just says he's bringing back Y2J.
What I like is that he gets there and he goes, you shouldn't underestimate me. Yeah, I've had a rough run. I shouldn't underestimate me, just like Ziggler. He's showing off. He shouldn't underestimate and underestimate Alex Riley. And then he does, yes. And then Ziggler does the Jericho posing while he's pinning somebody thing with his foot on his, doing the, you know, the.
Oh, the double bicep.
Yeah, which I thought was hilarious. Just the irony of that. But then, so Alex Riley pins him, and of course that comes off of the distraction from the you know, a guy 20 feet away taking a picture of him with a Ziggler with his camera, because, you know, that's really dangerous, and that's going to distract a guy. He gets pinned by...
Well, Jericho...
What's that?
He was going to throw his shoe.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And then, thank you, Conan. Remember when Conan was using that essentially as a finisher in TNA?
Oh, it was his three live crew.
Yeah. Anyways. But the point is, so he gets up there. He's going to, you know, he's taking this picture. Alex Riley pins him, and they go, and Chris Jericho puts him over by saying, I believe he hasn't won something since the Stone Ages or something along those lines. And everybody's like, what was it?
No. The best part about Jericho's commentary is that on two separate occasions, he called Alex Riley Alex Wright.
Did he?
He did.
I didn't even notice that.
Twice.
That's awesome. But anyway, so then he wins, and then I think it was Lawler who goes, I think he's only won two or three matches this year, which I think probably puts him about one ahead of Ziggler. Ziggler's won the Money in the Bank, and give me another match. He's won this calendar year.
Yeah, no shit, eh? He probably won he's got to have won something, you'd really? Think, somewhere. But not what you would think, is all I'm saying. But no.
Give me a match over the last...
No. I can't, unless did he win a number one contender to get in when Del Rio got the concussion to face Sheamus?
No.
Or was he just given the match? I didn't even know.
Yeah, I think he did in a tag team. He did pin Sheamus in a tag team match.
Okay.
Yeah, after losing to him like 4 weeks in a row.
Then he took the brogue kick.
Yeah, and since then he's taken some more brogue kicks and getting pinned by Alex Riley. I mean, fuck you guys.
Das Wunderkind.
That said, it's the match I have the second most interest in for SummerSlam. That's not saying much, but it is almost my most look forward to match, just because I think they should have a tremendous match.
I think it is to me the one that I'm actually looking forward to the most. Because as we get on and we can go into the Brock Lesnar Triple H stuff, the only word I can think of when I saw this, because I think I even texted you, because I was, again, an hour and 15 or an hour behind you in terms of watching, and I said that, when I saw Heyman come out with Lesnar, and I thought Heyman and Shawn should be great.
You said
and the only word I could say for this is letdown.
Well, and after the first 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I actually stopped watching for a while because it was just too painful to watch this thing all the way through without being able to fast forward. Because so much of it was just not very good. It was just, it's so stale. So incredibly stale. Now, absolutely, that was a letdown. But which part, I mean, the whole thing wasn't good. But what part was the biggest letdown? Was it the interaction between Shawn Michaels and Heyman? Or?
It was, to me, though, that part was good. I mean, Heyman was good. That's the thing. And then Shawn was good.
Shawn wasn't good.
Sean. I mean, it's just Sean's a character of himself. He come back a couple weeks. I mean, my favorite part was when he talked about how he there's a bunch of new faces in the back, and he was there 2 weeks ago.
I'm even trying to think of he was around a lot during WrestleMania, and everybody was pretty much there.
Well, Damian Sandow would be the only person, and he kicked him in the face 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but Damian Sandow was on the roster. Well, I guess the character Damian Sandow wouldn't have been. The character of Ryback wouldn't have been, so you can save for that. Those are the only two, right?
I guess. But
Or Tensai, I guess. I don't know if he was ever, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, it's not a lot of, either way, it's not a lot of new faces. It's
Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, he's met Kelly Kelly before.
Who's Sakamoto?
But the only, yeah.
Yeah.
Sakamoto. But Sakamoto. I think Oh, yes. Hello, Moto. But,
Kelly.
I have a good Kelly. Yeah, it's good for her to come on my front, too. But yeah. I think, with Sean, I mean, Sean and Honor. Yeah, she would. But,
go ahead. Okay.
I really liked Heyman's reaction when Brock grabbed the mic from him. When he was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Even he's like, I can't control this guy.
He's like, uh-oh. But then, I mean, the whole thing was, this whole thing was designed that Brock should have beat the shit out of Sean and gotten Hunter angry because he beat up his best friend.
Yes and no. There's one problem to that. But go ahead with the instead.
Well, instead, Sean's going to be in his corner at the Summerfest, and Lester just says, you know, I'll see you Triple H at SummerSlam, and you, Sean, yeah, you, I'll see you before that, or whatever.
Yeah, which led me to believe that what we were going to get was after the main event match. We were just going to get, oh, my God, we're about to go off there, but something's happened backstage. And you run backstage, and you see Shawn Michaels lying down, laid out, and nobody around or Lesnar standing over him. So you didn't have to actually beat up the guy who's not really technically a wrestler anymore, might not want to bump. And I think that's one of the problems. That's the way around it. But I think, number one, is Shawn might necessarily not want to bump. Number two, because he's not Ric Flair, wanted to come back and take the bumps. And number two is if Lesnar had beat him up, even if Triple H comes out and is sticking up for his friend, even if Triple H wins, and especially if he doesn't, and there's a good chance I think that he won't, even...
Oh, that's funny.
And even then, no matter what you've done, is you've made it so you fans are going to be clamoring for and going to think that a match is going to happen between HBK and Lesnar, and it isn't. And that's the problem with that.
I don't see that as a problem. I just see that Hunter's stepping up for his retired little buddy, and that's all you have to do. But, I mean, Sean doesn't want to...
If he beats the shit out of Sean next week, then that's fine. The problem is...
Sean doesn't mind throwing the super kicks around. Sean can take some bumps. Sean could take one bump a year.
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, I do. I do. If I'm WWE and if I'm WWE and I pay your salary and I bring you on and I say do this, then that's fine. And you say no, then we go a different route and I don't do this.
Okay. Well, the other
if I'm going to have Shawn Michaels in the ring with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar F5s him. If Sean is not willing to take that, then I don't have them together. I don't have Sean on camera anymore.
But what if they did do it like I had suggested, and maybe they will do next week, where you just see him laid out backstage?
Well, yeah, but apparently the plan is still for Sean to be at SummerSlam. Well,
he can still be at SummerSlam just because he's got beat up backstage.
Okay, so Sean gets beat up backstage. I don't give a fuck at that point. Oh, there's Sean laying down in the back, and Brock Lesnar is standing over him.
Oh, no. Make you care the most, they did fuck up. But here's the other thing. I mean, yeah. It doesn't feel like a... number one, it didn't feel like a Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night, because he comes out all by himself. A Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night, I think that's part of the problem that I had with it, is they were advertising two or three times, it's Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night tonight, and he's going to come out, and blah, blah, blah. If they had just said, in San Antonio, Shawn Michaels is going to be here, not called it Appreciation Night, had the Appreciation...
I didn't think they did.
So
I watched Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night on YouTube
That's the thing, right? Is if they had said, like, if afterwards they called it Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night and advertised it locally, that's fine. But to call it that on TV and then have the guy come out and have no balloons, nobody introducing him, nobody else.
Yerple.
Yeah, you know, it's like he's coming out and patting himself on the back. It did not feel like a Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night. Like what we saw for Ric Flair when they had an Appreciation Night, what we saw for Bret Hart, it didn't feel like that the way that this was presented. They should have just said Shawn Michaels is here because it's his hometown and he has something to say about Lesnar and and Triple H. That's all they should have done, but they fucked it up because they.
Are you saying that? So you're saying that it's like Barry Horowitz Appreciation Night?
Yes.
He patted himself on the back.
And nobody gave a fuck.
Yes.
And yeah, it didn't draw any buys. So that's one of my problems with it. It just didn't feel like a big deal was made. And then because of that, everything else didn't feel as big a deal either.
It loses my interest every week that goes by.
Probably. Still my most anticipated match, but not by much.
Yeah, I expect next week. I'm about on the same level as Hunter and Brock as I am with Ziggler and Jericho, and I fully expect that after Raw 1003 that Ziggler and Jericho will take the lead there.
That could be. Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really...
It was just a letdown. I was expecting, and it was the right move for business. Sean takes an F5. And so
Paul
and it was
Heyman
so
needed
simple.
To come out and at least shoot on somebody, shoot on, draw some heat. Instead, he comes out and he goes, "You are the greatest ever."
Whatever. But yeah, well, see, I thought he was building him up because then he F5'd the greatest ever,
yeah.
And that makes sense. You build up the guy you're gonna fuck, but he doesn't. He didn't do it.
I
built so,
your mom up.
Yeah, see, that's the guy you're gonna fuck. But I just...
Is there something about your mom used to be your dad? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
What? Pat. But the thing is that...
If I find out that his name was really... Your mom's name is Pat, isn't it? Yeah, I know. I'm going to go banana.
Go banana. But I think that... It's like an ape. But I think that they did, like... 75% of this angle where they built and built them and then they just didn't pay it off.
Yeah.
And Brock, you know, started to walk to him and then Hunter's music played. And it was just, again, stupid. He's promised that he's going to see him before SummerSlam. So they're building an anticipation that he's going to beat the fuck out of him. It probably is going to be a 15-second tout that shows Shawn Michaels laying there. But either way,
he could go to beat him up, and Triple H could break it up before it ever happens, which I think is almost more likely.
Yeah, it's probably more likely.
Will be a tout. You're right.
It's actually more likely that he goes to beat up Shawn, that Brock Lesnar goes to beat up Shawn, and Stephanie stops it.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But anyway, so that's that. I don't think we have anything new more than we need to say about that bullshit. But Damian Sandow.
He was awesome.
He was good. That's in my bad and my good segment here on paper here. And Damian Sandow falls into the good. It was the most versatile that we had seen him with that attack, and it looked out of place. It didn't look out of place, I should say.
No. He attacks Brodus Clay. Brodus looked awful, but doesn't matter because the Sandow character and his offense both looked really, really good. His character was really just overbearing and a complete prick. And got some good heat, and his offense. He came at him. He looks like a guy who's hungry. He looks to me like
he
looks like a guy who's like, fuck this. I'm gonna move up this card. I'm getting a chance to do something on Raw, and it's not against a main eventer, but it's you know what? They're giving me a chance, and I'm gonna hit it out of the park. And that's what that felt like to me. This felt like a guy who was hungry, and there's not a lot of guys I get that feeling of. You know?
Well, I get that from you.
Well, I'm always hungry.
But you're right. I don't see that really
here.
I bet. I don't see that there's any. You're right. I don't see it in anybody else. Maybe again, Ziggler is there, but that's been going on for a while
now.
Yeah,
Ziggler does still have not as much as
Daniel. Daniel Bryan has it. You know, when they were chanting, "Let go, Cena, Cena sucks," and Daniel Bryan blew a spaz saying, "No, it's all about me," and he ran around the crowd and pointed in the crowd.
Well, that's
because
he's smart. Like, you know. That's because he gets.
Well, yeah.
That's because he knows
his
role. That's not being hungry.
I think that's a guy that still is having to claw and prove that he belongs still to the guy, you know, so he doesn't think he's carrying his groceries. And he still has to prove it, so that's what he's doing. He's proving it. So I still think, again, not as much as Sandow, because Sandow's got more to prove. But I think Brian still has that.
Yeah, maybe to some degree, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, though, about, I mean, look, who else is there who looks hungry, right? I mean, just about nobody.
Yeah. No, and that's it. Now, speaking of someone, probably come back and look at a very good video package on Wade Barrett.
It was awesome. It was the other second best thing on the show. Basically, yeah. He's got a little beard. I'm pretty sure they showed him bare knuckle fighting. He looked bigger than ever. But yeah, he looks tougher. I mean, that's one of the things with he kind of, you know, I like the coat and the rose and whatever. It was a British gimmick. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. I don't know that he ever looked tough. He also has kind of a baby face. It was almost too smooth. So a little beard. He looks like the bare knuckles fighter. I like it. I'm pretty sure in that he beat up Magnus. I'm pretty sure that was the guy who took the punch. It looked like just exactly like in that video. But other than that,
I mean, he's got that beard. He looks kind of like, he looks like Rocky Balboa training for Drago in Rocky IV there. He's got that kind of beard going on. And it's just, that's the word, is tough. And again, in legit is what he looks, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a guy who hopefully will come back and be really hungry. I mean, he's going to, I don't like the Barrett barrage. I never liked that. I just think it sounds stupid, but and it doesn't flow off the tongue very well. But you know what? He's going to come back and get a good push here, which is fine. I mean, I want to see him versus Sheamus at the Royal Rumble for the title.
Yeah, that would be good. I could even, I wouldn't even mind that being a Mania match, you know?
Yeah. Have him come back and feud with like Ray first, and then go on to that. Sure.
I think that was the highlight of Raw for me.
Those two things, yeah.
Which two things?
That and Sandow.
Oh yeah, but I think this Wade Barrett video even more than Sandow.
For me, it was Sandow and then the Barrett. But yeah, I mean it's the other thing is the opening segment. Starts off with AJ, who I hate. Oh, so annoying.
The thing with AJ and throughout the whole show is that, when she's confronted, and she's supposed to be this baby face, right?
Yeah.
But, the next, after she talks to Punk and to Del Rio and to Daniel Bryan. Like, the next guy that I wanted to walk into her office was Jackson Andrews.
Too soon.
No.
No, you're right.
But, I mean, it's, like, really, she gets this smug look on her face.
Yep.
Like, and just has this grin and this smile and this look, and it's just like...
I think you should explain to Jackson Andrews before we go on, actually. Just digress.
Jackson Andrews is engaged to Rosa Mendez, who apparently he beat the shit out of her and has been doing, has had a history of doing that, according to the
Jackson Andrews,
report,
if you don't remember, was the guy who was, for a very short period of time, the massive, 6'8" dude who was the bodyguard of Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, for a month.
Yeah, there. After, Tyson Kidd first turned heel, basically.
Yeah. December of 2007 or something. Yeah. But anyway, so he gets.
She fears for her life, and it's been going on for a long time. Yeah, he beats the shit out of her, and now he's So I mean, she wasn't on Raw because she was. I think was at the airport or the hotel. She was found crying and bruised up and that type of deal.
Is it the airport? Yeah. So, but I do again AJ. Just that look on her face is just like smack it off. And, again, she's supposed to be the baby face. And you have fucking the man with zero credibility, Jerry Lawler, going, I think she's doing a great job.
That was, I think, the thing. That was when I really turned on her, was when Cole says, what do you think about her? And he just put her over so strong about her social media aspect and this and that, and I'm like,
oh,
you're trying too fucking hard. Much like how you laugh at jokes that aren't that funny, and you're just trying too hard, this was the same type of deal.
Well, yeah, and I know, and Michael Cole even said it, and he was the one that said it at first, was when AJ first came out. She wants to be the most active social media general manager in WWE history. It's like, really? More than Gorilla Monsoon?
Yeah, well, more than, who was it, fucking Laurinaitis, who kept on talking about how many Twitter followers he had?
Yeah, but I mean, fuck, it's like, you know, here, and so they're trying too hard. None of the announcers have any credibility to doing.
No, none of the announcers, but I've said this for a long time. She completely acts like a heel to me, but they treat her like she's a babyface. She's been doing it for a long time. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I mean, I think some people enjoy her with Daniel Bryan. I don't even enjoy that. I think Daniel Bryan is above the way they make him look in the shitty comedy. He's good at anything he does, but that doesn't mean he should be doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Daniel Bryan is slowly becoming, he's a little bit higher on the card, obviously, but he can fall into the same pitfalls as his mentor, William Regal.
Absolutely.
In that, you know, Regal was great at everything that he did, but just it didn't mean that, you know, he should be doing other things, is basically what it is, exactly. Right? I don't think that Vince has the same – I mean, Vince has the he's 180 pounds hatred on him versus he hated Regal's style in the ring.
Yeah, but Vince actually likes Daniel Bryan's work, and he likes the character and personality. But, I mean, whereas Vince just didn't like Regal's in-ring work. He liked his personality, which is just amazing.
It's a different style. Yeah. It's not Vince's cup of tea, and he owns the company, and so that's the thing. I remember there was a Finley Regal match at a Great American Bash.
Yep.
You know, I think in 06 or something, and none of the fans cared.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they just because they're just not a company, not used to that style.
Yeah. So it was also a completely unannounced match.
Yeah, where is that too? That probably someone had elevated liver enzymes that caused that.
And I think that was the same night that Regal accidentally was caught walking around naked backstage with a camera.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was fucking hilarious.
That was. So, let's not forget the primetime players.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's to make the tag team division seem, what was it? Competitive, I mean, that's the goal. I don't really mind them losing so much for that reason, if they are, but here's my problem with it was, it's essentially the exact same finish as what we saw with the Jericho finish. The babyface doesn't actually talk to the heel, he just kind of does something kind of walking towards him or standing up, and they get distracted and they turn around and they get pinned by people who aren't really as good as them. And it doesn't get anybody over. And they did it twice in one show. And they've been doing it for a long time, to channel my inner Todd Martin. It really sucks.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's the thing is to me with the primetime players is that they're losing. I can't even remember a match that they've won, you know.
No, well, the singles matches. But I think it's okay, though, the idea that, hey, we're such pricks, we don't have to stick around and actually wrestle you. We're number one contender, so we'll just walk away and won't lose that number one contendership match, you know. And I think that got good heat from the crowd. It's like such a prick chicken shit move. I think they should've, you know, I mean, I don't mind that move, so.
Well, no, there is that. I think that, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's too much for me. That's, again, it's another loss. It doesn't seem like they've ever won anything. And so, to me, it's like,
they don't have to win anything. They essentially hold the money in the bank. They won a number one contenders match, so they're the number one contenders until they get their shot. It's the exact same thing as Ziggler. He can lose 1,000 times. It's okay. He's got the briefcase. It's, you know, it's the way WWE works because they don't understand how to build, make stars. They don't. Like a guy like Damian Sandow, they're not making a star. He's going to take the opportunity because he's hungry and do so well The same thing with the Daniel Bryan. They didn't make Daniel Bryan a star. They got a situation where it was the right move storyline-wise to turn him into, or for him to cash in the Money in the Bank, but he made himself a star after that, right? Like, they don't know how to make any stars. And the truthfully, and this is the big thing, I mean, you talk about, like, Kelly got no reaction when she came back, after being gone a couple months. Ryback got no reaction. A few feud meet more chance when the match was over. During the match, the pin, none of it. No reaction whatsoever. I cannot think of a guy, like I say, who's had as extended amount of TV exposure for this long, getting this heavy a push, who's still getting this little reaction on a general basis. But then again, he sucks. And then let's talk about his promo. Now, if you can't wrestle, you got to be able to get over the promo. If you can't promo, you got to be able to get over the wrestling. Well, he has a better chance to get over with his wrestling than his promo. That was awful.
Yeah. That was awful.
That was one of the most scripted, obvious, line-for-line readings of a promo I have ever seen or heard in my entire life.
No, I know. It was – that was horrible.
So he doesn't get a reaction. Kelly doesn't. The WWE to the universe, to the live crowd, most weeks – I fucking hate that word, universe. But most weeks, there's what, four guys who they see as a star. They see CM Punk, Randy Orton, John Cena – and I think the crowd sees Daniel Bryan. He always gets a reaction. His matches, he's always getting chance. He's always getting the whatever. And the no, and him saying no, 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 and getting yes, 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 is working.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is working.
And I think Rey Mysterio gets it still too.
Yeah, you're right. I think Rey Mysterio is probably still seen. But even a Kane, like if guys who are regularly on a Kane, a Miz. Christian, any of these guys.
Not even Sheamus
is really seen as a star. Del Rio, none of these guys get that continued. Crowd is into them every single move. They really see him as a star. Now, Daniel Bryan doesn't move ratings yet, and CM Punk only does to a small degree. But to a live crowd, there's those five people, you're right, that are seen as stars. Everybody else is just on the fucking show.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, well, that's because they suck.
Well, and it's also because we'll move on past Raw here. Well, I guess you can't go past Raw because I guess that we have to talk a little bit about the finishing angle there with CM Punk.
Let's talk a little bit about the opening angle just because I didn't. The opening is AJ coming out and then CM Punk comes out, apologizes there, gets a little bit of heat. John Cena coming out saying that Punk is one of those guys complaining about not getting respect. Then Big Show's on his way out, and AJ says, no, you guys aren't taking over my show. Mm-hmm. This, to me, was everything that's wrong with WWE. If you're not going to – you know how you're not going to get a strong opening quarter hour? Is if you open it up every single week with the exact same thing, which is 20 minutes of people talking with nothing to say, not building anywhere, not revealing anything, and not being particularly entertaining because they're just going through the motions – this, to me, is everything that makes – and I'm not even talking about the WWE sucking. I'm not saying this show sucked. I'm saying it's stale. It's so stale that it's boring.
Yeah, this show didn't suck. It was too long.
Well, yeah. And it's stale. The product is stale. The presentation, the style, the characters, everything's stale.
Yeah. And even – I mean, I thought CM Punk did an all right job in his delivery of his lines that he had.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's it, and then it was just like, okay, well, that's half an hour or 20 minutes done.
Yeah, drag.
You know, it just, yeah, it did. It was, and then, I mean, that dragged, the tag match couldn't get a ring entrance, Christian couldn't get a ring entrance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, Alex Riley couldn't, okay, well, maybe, but still,
good.
It's, yeah, that's right. But, I mean, that's, stupid.
Yeah.
And then you transition that to the end where, you know, Punk again continues his heel turn, essentially. This one not as subtle as when he turned on Jeff Hardy.
No, really isn't. Okay, go over the last angle. And first off, this last angle, I'd just like to say early in the night, Big Show was laid out in an RKO and after his match, after a double count out draw with Randy Orton. Big Show was made to look like a fool by Orton. And then we get to the main event, and...
Yeah, and Punk started talking about how he's going to get respect.
Let's talk, let's talk about the match.
Well, Daniel Bryan against
John Cena.
What did you think of it? First time ever. Well, what did you think of it?
3.5 stars, very solid match. One of the things I thought was very interesting about the match was, I'm really actually curious about this. I'm not sure who to ask for this, who might know. But John Cena, after all the time in there, usually he's always, obviously he's a babyface. Generally the heels call a match, unless you're the champion will always call the match. He hasn't been the champion for a long time, but he's the top star in the company. I'm not sure who calls this match in the ring. Does Daniel Bryan, because he's so respected? Does Cena, because of his position in the company? Does Cena call the matches in the ring? I was trying to actually figure that out watching the match, and I couldn't. Either way, it's a very solid match. Not a great match, but very, very good TV match.
Yeah, it was a decent. And, I mean, the finishing sequence, ended in AA to Daniel Bryan. He got out of the lock.
Do you think Cena calls his matches?
I think it depends. I mean, again, what was the... I mean, you talk about... he probably called the match with The Rock, right? I'm sure he called the match against... I'm sure he does. A guy that does it all the time versus a guy that does this once, whatever. Right? Yeah, but not in a long time.
I think a match like that needs... You need to call it less because it's so choreographed for so long.
That's true, too. But, I mean, I think Cena's the one doing the calling. I know that Cena would be the one... I would assume Cena would be the one calling it against Johnny Ass, right?
Yeah.
You know,
again, that's overly choreographed, though. I mean, it's more like a match like this where I wonder, where it's kind of thrown together.
And I mean, who knows?
Even against CM Punk at the Money in the Bank last year, who's calling that match? Who's calling the match against Big Show? It's kind of,
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not sure who can answer that, but I'm very, very curious.
Yeah, but then again, and then Cena is elated that he wins, and then Punk comes and cuts the promo about getting respect, and he gets punched by the Big Show.
Yeah. Basically, Big Show stands tall over both guys at the end.
Right, which is with the title, and that's fine.
Except that I cannot see why the fuck Big Show's in this match.
Well, nobody is, and if you're going to do it...
He doesn't have a match.
Right. So, Randy Orton enjoys steroids.
Yes, and that's why they put him over big against Big Show in this match.
Well, whatever, then they're going to set him up there, but
they got to have him on. I suspect that I think there's a really good chance we're going to have 2 3-ways for world titles.
Yeah, that could... That could be. I mean,
I don't think that they're going to advertise. I think it'll be a surprise during the pay-per-view that Booker T or AJ or whoever will add Orton to the match between Sheamus and Del Rio.
When?
As just before the match starts. The two of them are in the ring, we hear Booker T's music or AJ's music, and AJ skips out to the ring.
It'd be Booker T because it's a SmackDown match.
Who gives a fuck? They will put AJ on the... If they might put AJ out just because they love her more than Booker T. But either way, somebody comes out and says, I've decided that this should also be a 3-way match, and they play Randy Orton's music. And they don't...
You know why you're
wrong? Or whatever.
You know why you're wrong? Is because at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're going to tweet it.
Oh, maybe that'll do it. My mistake.
Yes.
Or somebody else tout it.
Maybe, yes. Yeah. Can you tout that? Suck a...
I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Booker tout.
I like it.
There's a... That's what I like about that.
Yes.
That's awesome. But that was... That's it.
JBL will be calling the match.
Yeah. No, I wish.
Yeah, he's not coming back, even though he joked he was.
Yeah, that's... But, no, I think, I mean, really, again, Big Show is in the match, so him standing over the top 2 weeks out, not a bad thing. If you're going to do it that way, then, like you said, I agree, why is he in the match? But he is, so, you know, you're going to do it that way, and that's fine. I don't really have a recollection of the RKO so much as I do with him standing over everybody with the belt at the end. So, from that perspective, that's fine, right? I agree, you know, it shouldn't be, but, I mean, it is. So, I had an opportunity, and they took it down WWE took it down due to copyright after I put it on Facebook, of Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night. Mm-hmm. Basically, everybody coming out. The video that I have is about 15 minutes long that I saw. Basically, it was Vince, all the people on the ramp, you know, cheering him. Vince coming out saying, you know, glad he could do this. Shawn is like a son to him. You know, just thanks for everything. You deserve this appreciation night. Then Vince is, you know, okay, well, it's, you know, there you go. Vince, better let's hear it for him and let's go. And then the lights go out and the dong hits. And Undertaker in full gimmick walks down and probably is about, of the 15-minute video, he's about 8 of it, just cutting a promo about how he, how much he respects Shawn, how in his, when he looks back at the 5 greatest matches of his career, that Shawn is directly responsible for 3 of them.
What are the other 2? Obviously, it's the 2 Mania and the Hell in the Cell.
Then he looked over at Hunter, who, of course, was standing there and said, you might be the other 2.
Okay.
There you go. Well, I mean,
I may have to at some point come up with a blog of Undertaker's best matches because I'm not sure.
Highway to Hell was okay, wasn't it?
Highway to Hell. Yeah, I can think of a few with Foley. I can think of some others. I can think of one with Hart. A couple with Hart.
Yeah, Bret Hart, Foley. You know. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can think of one with Giant Gonzalez.
Really? One with Bundy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
One with the other Undertaker.
Yes, one with Kamala. What about the Executioner?
Oh yeah, there you go. Remember there you go.
Terry Gordy, Don the Hood.
Yep.
He went into the water.
Yeah.
He had the axe.
And don't forget his classic against Sid. So anyways.
Oh, yes, that's true. That was the
No, I mean, yeah. Yes, Sid was during the match.
Yes, that's right.
Anyways, what the hell were we saying? So anyways, the appreciation night, go on.
Well, and then he said, okay, and then the Undertaker did his speech, and actually the line that he said is that he enjoyed knowing you, but what he most enjoyed is seeing you grow up.
That's so true.
And
I think that's what I've been, personally, that's the same feel, that's how I feel with Shawn.
Yeah, yeah.
Personally as well.
Yeah. And then, it's over and they say, oh, is there anybody else up there? There's got to be somebody else. There's nobody else. Vince is going, is there somebody else? Oh, no, but at one line that Undertaker said that cracked everybody up was, you're the man who's had the biggest head that I know. You can take that any way you want it. you can see Vince just killing himself.
Nice.
But anyway, Vince says, all right, that's got to be. Is anybody else out there? Is anybody else? And then People Power. The Tron comes in and he comes in and he goes, Shawn Michaels on this appreciation night, and boom, gets super kicked.
Yeah, he was carrying a big heart or something like that.
Yeah, and then he gets super kicked, and then all the way out of the ring, and then Hunter picks him back.
Make the crowd happy, go home happy.
Yeah, and then Hunter and Vince pick him back up, and Shawn kicks him again.
Yeah. Wasn't this whole thing hosted by CM Punk? Isn't that kind of weird? The newly healed CM Punk instead of John Cena?
Yeah. He's a champion.
Yeah, I guess.
But I don't know. But yeah, so anyway, that was the part that I thought was about a 15-minute video, but that was pretty good. So that was Raw.
Okay, so do you want to get to one of our Twitter questions, my email questions based on that? Because it's one.
Well, yeah,
one of the kind of plays into that, and that's
let's do that.
Yeah, yeah. Because this came in this morning, so thank you very much. It's from Donnie Jones Bones. So Donnie Jones Bones, and he was asking us basically. He said he wasn't sure if in this email if HBK and Brock Lesnar was being led to or not. He was hoping it was, just so I can let him know. I don't think you're going to see that, but he's hoping it is. But he said he asked us.
It's not.
No, it really doesn't seem like it. But he was hoping that. So anyways, he said he's wondering if Shawn Michaels was to have a comeback match. Who are our top three guys that he should come back against, and where? And I'll say all of them, in my opinion, would be WrestleMania.
Yes.
That's the only place I would have a Shawn Michaels comeback match. But so who are your top three guys?
Punk, Bryan, and Ziggler.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll give you mine, and then we'll discuss each other's. Mine is Bryan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock.
Okay. Well, okay, so you want me to discuss yours?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yours are stupid. The thing that with it is that again, Rock and Austin, especially Austin. I don't waste Austin's one match against Shawn Michaels. Because Austin has one match. If he's got a match, it's one. You know, and that's it. So I don't waste that.
Did you waste it against The Rock?
Austin?
Yeah.
I would. I mean, I could. And again, that's just because there's been talk of it. I do more than Shawn, but not. And again, that's only from a. The fact that they're going to trust each other, these two guys. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing. But they've had their matches, and Rock beat Austin, right, to go out. That was the whole thing, is Austin had always won, and Rock won the last WrestleMania match to end it. And so to me, that's how you end it. And again, when you're talking about any of those guys, it's the reason that Rock and Cena, okay? It's not Rock and Undertaker, right? I mean, you could do Rock and Brock, perhaps, but now, again, it looks like it's going to be Rock and Cena too, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just look at it like any of those guys that are coming back, it's for – the only reason to me to come back is for something fresh.
Okay, and see, I'm going to disagree with you here. And the reason I have this, it's not about something fresh, and it's not about putting somebody over or giving somebody a rub. It's about money. And Ziggler against HBK will never mean as much money as Austin versus HBK. It just won't. And that's the whole point of this. It's about giving the fans what they want to see. And the thing is, there's a great story there. After I wrestled you, I was gone for years. When you beat me, my back was hurt. It's always stuck in my craw. It's the one match, even more than The Undertaker, that bugs me. And I would love to see if they could have that great match, because, frankly, they wrestled each other several times, and I never saw even a 2.5-star match. They didn't seem to have the chemistry, and I'd love to see if they could turn it around, plus the storyline, plus the money. So that's the thing. And the same thing with The Rock. It's when Hulk Hogan came back against Shawn Michaels, it was a lot bigger than when Hulk Hogan came back against Randy Orton. Why? Because that was the dream match, and that's what people want to see. People want to see the dream match. The difference between Cena is Cena's at a different level than even a CM Punk by far. And so it's okay for Cena to take on The Rock. The only reason I go with Daniel Bryan is because, A, he's going to give you the best match of all the guys on the roster. B, there's the storyline of the guy who trained him type deal, right? So I think you could turn that into something. So if I'm going to pick somebody from the current roster, he's the only guy I go with. It almost was Brock. I almost went with you Brock.
You could have a backstage vignette where Sean just walks up to him and goes, hey, didn't I train you?
Yeah, like he did in real life.
Yeah.
But, well, he was very high back then.
Speaking of which, this is the anniversary of the death of Lance Cade.
Oh.
Yeah. So, speaking of people, Sean trained, but...
he doesn't remember. But
well, neither does Linda, so yeah, that's okay.
That's true. But she never, well, the difference is she never met him.
Yeah. See, and again, the difference with we were talking about Austin and again, you're talking about Austin and HBK, two stars of a bygone era that, you know, fans don't really connect with today, more so Sean than Austin. And like you said, you never saw more than a 2.5-star match. Well, now they're older, and I just smarter. I don't. Yeah, but
Sean,
I don't.
Sean and Austin were, or Sean and Undertaker, or Triple H and Undertaker were two old guys who were able to tell a better story later on in their career and have better matches. And you know what? And both times, it was two old guys you think that fans don't necessarily connect with. I mean, I disagree with that.
See, right now, if Austin comes back to me, it's Punk and that's it, and that's otherwise, you know, stay home and thanks for the memories and I'll remember him fondly, right? But I mean, if you're looking at
I understand what you're saying, but Punk versus Austin will mean more to the hardcore fans. Austin versus HBK will mean more to the casual fans, and ultimately at WrestleMania. That's what you're going for. You want to make as much as possible.
Yes and no, because at WrestleMania, it just depends, right? Again, all of this is predicated on what else is going on. Like, are you talking, like, if Sean's coming back this year, then, you know, then no. I mean, you're going to have your, then you can go against even a Dolph Ziggler and Shawn Michaels at a WrestleMania coming
because
up.
Because you have your two other main events. I'm throwing those out. I'm not. That's none of this is happening. So all of this is philosophical.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying is that you have to look at that and say that yes, if you're looking at a money drawing match, then it's big star against big star. If you're just looking to me, a match that I'm going to enjoy and I could, you know, the guys get elevated just by being in the ring with that at this point is Bryan and Ziggler, and I think the novelty of Punk and Shawn Michaels is similar to a Rock and John Cena on a sort of a worker level, right? So it's
how about the fact that the Rock and Michaels didn't have the match ever?
Yeah, and there is that. But again, when it comes to I just think with Shawn, he's I don't want to say he's bastardized his specialness by coming back, but I mean I did see Sean against Batista and Sean against a younger Randy Orton and against Kane and against Ric Flair and like even before the retirement match before, but it's Sean and Jericho's and Sean was around in that after he made his comeback there and really later on he solidified it with those matches against Taker and he was having matches against Triple H. It's just that I don't know. Sean isn't The Rock. Sean isn't Steve Austin, and Sean isn't even to me Brock Lesnar at this point because the specialness isn't as much with Shawn Michaels.
I love that they announced that there was going to be a Twitter poll in San Antonio there for who would face CM Punk, and the San Antonio crowd starts chanting HBK.
HBK.
Yes,
yes.
Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to have fucking HBK come out of retirement for one match on a 3-minute build on Raw. You fucking idiots.
Well, they might.
All right, let's get to the SmackDown spoilers. Thank you, Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie Bones Jones. That was a or Donnie Jones.
That was.
Jones
yeah.
Bones.
Jones Bones.
Jones Bones. That was a fun topic. Or email me. Any other questions or your thoughts on that? Tweet or email me. Mo_WeTalk, mo@WeTalkPodcast.com, MONOE. Go ahead.
That's true. Okay. Before we get to
this, I don't have to do that at the end of the night.
There you are. See? A couple of quick hit items here. Really quick before we get to the SmackDown spoilers. New signing to the World Wrestling Entertainment Company, fellow by the name of Tom LaRuffa.
And who's that?
Better known as the French Stallion.
Oh, World of Hurt.
Yes, so the French Stallion has been signed.
I don't think he'll ever make it to the main roster. I don't think he'll have a chance if he does, but I hope so because I've seen this guy. He's a great personality. He's got a lot of charisma. And he's also a great shoot promo off hammer, but they're just going to neuter him, I think.
I think so. I think he's going to come in as this. I think he's coming in as the son of Dino Bravo.
Yeah.
So, which isn't necessarily. And you could be with him as the son of Earthquake. So there you go.
I'm going to go as Earthquake for Christmas or for Halloween this year.
Really? You're going to lose weight? Huh.
I'm going to go as Golga for Christmas or for Halloween this year.
Really? You're going to lose weight? That's not as bad as it sounds because with the chemotherapy, you lost a lot.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, do you want me to edit that out? As you're doing a yes, chant. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Oh. Fuck. Fuck.
Oh. Let me read to you here. The camel's back just broke. I had enough of this. As a pro athlete, I'm tired of me and my locker room brothers being taken advantage of. Fans have no idea what we go through. Yeah, I said it. Nobody wants to speak up. Everybody's afraid of losing their job or getting taken off TV.
Can I guess who this is?
Hmm.
A guy who's never on TV? JTG?
JTG, yes. He's apparently speaking up. So that's the story of how JTG was fired.
Yeah, well, he's upset that he didn't get much of a payout for WrestleMania. Speculation that a lot of the guys who got less than last year, despite them making more money. I don't know. I don't know, was he on WrestleMania at all?
Did they have a Battle Royale thing beforehand? I don't think so. They just had a tag match before with Kid and Gabriel against, was it against Primo and Epico or something like that? Or the Usos or something like that,
yeah. Like, I don't remember him even being at all on at all, so. But either way, I mean, they do go through a lot of bullshit. He's not wrong. He's not going to be up. Most of these guys aren't upset when they get fired at his level. I'm sure he won't be, and I'm sure he'll be gone, and that's fine. I know nobody will fucking miss him. Because the thing about a guy like him is he should be great for putting people over, like Brodus Clay, but they don't even use him in that role, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I guess what they're
used to. They'll feed him to Ryback, then they'll fire him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Because, yeah, didn't they feed him to Brodus Clay right before? So that was when he was on before, right?
Yeah.
Because he had something new to show, remember?
Yeah, I think the last, that's right. And since then, he also lost to Brodus Clay on Raw once since then.
That's right, yeah. But I think, again, but you these never guys think are
things
used...
will turn out, though. I mean, look at Alex Riley. Things just turned right around this week.
They did. They really did. But, I think the guy, I mean, they're talking about, guys are used to at least $10,000, you know, like five-figure WrestleMania payoffs.
Yeah.
And I guess the undercard just got a few thousand
this
year. So, but again, you know, it's all part of having the company, making money, right? And that's, if that has to happen, that has to happen. So,
they're independent contractors, like you said, anyways.
Well, and like you said, no one's going to miss JTG,
I mean. I'll say this, though. I don't know about the company you work for. I suspect this is true. I know the company I work for. If they have a very good year, I get a bonus. And these guys had a very good WrestleMania, and the guys did not get a bonus. They got less.
But did they have – they did, but did they have a very good year? I mean, let's look at their overall profitability is down, and that's what's reflecting it. People are talking about WrestleMania bonus because they have a good show. In my company, if we have a good month in November, I don't get a Christmas bonus based off a great month in November. I get it on the whole year, and that's what this is based off of. And the fact is that, yes, okay, they've cut their dividend, for God's sakes. They're throwing all this money into the television station. Yeah, if I'm JTG, does that suck because I'm not seeing any of it? Sure. But for the company, that's what's happening. So they're losing some that's money true. Based off on those.
That's true.
And that's it's all tied in together.
But,
so,
but,
you know,
you're not wrong. I'm just going to say, though, if you're a guy like JTG.
I know.
Well, you were wrong. I kept on saying last week, are you going to fucking apologize for me going, it's possible, Shawn Michaels? And you're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, it's possible. And you're like, no, it's not. And you just kept cutting me off and being a complete prick. And then Shawn Michaels was fucking on this week, and I was fucking right, and you can lick my balls back.
Well, there was always that possibility.
You wouldn't say that, prick. You would never admit it. You were just, you were such a dick. I mean, even by your standards. Yeah. You got that big head.
That.
You can take that any way you want to.
What does everybody want?
all right. But no, I was just going to say this. For a guy like JTG, though, it's not his fault that the company is making less money. It's because they're fucking up around him. And I think that's part of the frustration as well. So, I mean, you know. But that's it's reality. It's reality. I mean, but that is part of the frustration. It's like, yeah, why is that my fault? You're making less money when you should be making more money. It's because of your mismanagement and your stupidity and your whatever. So
right.
Yeah.
But again, it's the company that he works for. I mean,
exactly.
it kind of is what it is, right? So. Well, a couple more little said quick hits. There is another social media ambassador for next week's Raw.
Huh.
Pauly D. is going to be doing that, and he's apparently going to be doing DJing a pre-Summerfest party, too.
Did not give a fuck. Charlie Sheen not mentioned once on Raw.
No.
His name, the only thing even close was AJ going backstage, AJ Lee, going backstage to Daniel Bryan. You still need some anger management.
You still have anger management issues,
yeah,
or something
like
to that.
That
effect. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There was nothing. Maybe it's because they haven't finalized it. Maybe it's because they don't trust him because he's such a fucking flake. But if Charlie Sheen is going to be in Kane's corner and have that confrontation, you got to be hyping that. You got to be hyping the shit out of it. So it's very strange.
Well, again, it's like you said, though, if they're worried about the flake out. And that very well could be. Again, there's only one show left, isn't there?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, they're not going to announce.
No,
it.
One show to make. Yeah, exactly. One show for them to go from making me not care to making me not give a fuck.
Exactly. And then they may do that.
May
Young. In her son hand. All grown up.
That wasn't funny.
That was hilarious. You know what else is hilarious? Did you hear about the new WWE movie that they're coming out with?
No. What is it?
No. It's called 12 Rounds. And it stars Randy Orton.
You mean the Marine?
No. 12 Rounds. John Cena's second movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just remaking it with Randy Orton.
Do you mean they're doing a sequel?
No. They're rebooting 12 Rounds with Randy Orton. Because, you know, pal, reboots all the rage.
Yeah, no, that's true. They just, this last week, Total Recall got a reboot.
Yeah. There's a chick with three tits in it.
I think your mom might be in it.
Because if the chick with three tits is in it, there's no fucking point in making a reboot. That's the whole reason to make a fucking reboot of that movie, is a new chick with three tits. That's it.
I want a chick with four tits this time. Don't fuck that up.
That's true.
It's a reboot. You got to go one step further.
You got to take it to the extreme.
And, you know, in the original book that was based on, there was no chick with three tits.
There's a book?
Yes, Philip K. Dick. You know.
Really?
Yes. You know his work. Huh. You know, Minority Report, and Blade Runner, and...
I've seen those.
There you go. You mean you read those?
Huh? No, no, I saw them. I also saw the Blade Runners in Memphis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he was good then. Whatever became of him?
I don't know, nothing. Nothing. Like Lawler said, these guys will never amount to anything.
Ah, fuck. All right, what else you got?
Okay, do we want to...
Are we going to talk about Karma?
Well, I was going to say, Karma is too fat to wrestle.
I'm going to go as Karma for Halloween.
Really? You going to miss carrying a baby?
If we ever do another best of, that's the whole show. I'm just going to repeat that over and over and over. It's going to be 2 hours of that.
Oh.
Holy shit.
Oh, my.
Well, I'll continue on the Karma story here. Karma apparently is what's happened is that she went into depression, she gained weight, and that was always the knock on her in WWE anyway, is that they thought she was too heavy, and she gained a little more weight than that, so part of the reason that she was...
She went into depression because something happened. I don't know what, because we would never reference it on the show in poor taste.
No. Be sensitive. But he did... So anyway, so that's the deal. She wants to try to make a reality show, which
about
will never happen.
Weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then come back to TNA.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, that should be. I mean, all she needs to do is she needs, you know who she needs to talk to? Arthur Gorman.
That's true. That's true.
And there you go, right?
If she gained weight, then she did need to, and it's tough, like I say, somebody goes through something like that to tell them when they need to snap out of it, but at some point in time you do need to snap out of it. At some point in time, you do need to realize you have the rest of your life to live. You have new opportunities. You have a job. You have everything. You just, you know. It's
yeah, but WWE also not known for its patience. And her whole thing about how they, you know, the whole story on Karma, of course. I had a baby. I didn't have a baby. I'm in a depression. I've gained some weight. I mean, they're not known for their patience. And B, when you do, you know, when you've got, you know, a series of things like that over the last year.
And there's also the incidents. She had some incidents backstage with TNA and different things. It's right. Enough to make you think that she's a bit of a flake. Now, that said, the who she was when she debuted was not too fat. That was perfect for the character. It was nice.
Oh, definitely. So. But she didn't have a lot of wiggle room. No pun intended.
No, of course not.
So,
pun intended whatsoever.
That's right.
Yeah, she wasn't kicking it.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Soccer player.
Yes. Yes.
But, all right, well, let's move on.
Who the dad was. Is it Paul Bearer?
I think so. Isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Percy and Pussy. There you go. It's Kelly. Kelly actually is a dad.
Well, she'd fuck anything.
Strange story there. Yeah. The Sperminator. But CM Punk has a new DVD coming out.
Oh, yeah, CM Punk. Okay.
Called Best in the World. The trailer is out. Looks fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
Just a 3-disc set. Looking like, just from the trailer alone, in the bottom right-hand corner, you know, footage courtesy of ROH Wrestling, footage courtesy of IWAMS, right? So it's got IWA Mid-South, it's got Ring of Honor. The first match on Disc 2 is Brent Albright against CM Punk from OVW, March of 2006. Mm-hmm. So it's got some... It's got a lot of the stuff.
He's still over at ROH, Brent Albright?
No. No. Is he
an ace in his eights?
Is he dead?
No.
You sure?
Yes. I'm sure, as I check it on Google.
Yeah. Okay. Because Brent Albright wasn't known as a gunner, was he? Or not? Yeah, wasn't he Gunner or Gunther or something in on SmackDown? Remember?
Yeah, he was. He had a lame name.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah.
I think of
Gunner Scott. Still alive. Still alive. He's only 33. Talented guy. Good size. Would fit in well in TNA.
Okay. So, anyways.
His problem in WWE was, remember, he worked too much like Chris Benoit, and they already had a Chris Benoit.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. So, So, they don't anymore, though.
No, that's true. They don't. They don't have any. No. They have an Andrew Jackson. Well, not really. But
yeah, his name is Mason Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just looking at this CM Punk DVD. Again, matches, Money in the Bank, Punk and Morrison. Punk and is just incredible. When he won the tag titles with Kofi, Punk and Kofi. No DQ match for the Intercontinental title, Punk against William Regal. You had Jeff Hardy and Punk.
That was an awesome match, by the way.
It was.
That was a TV match, I believe, wasn't it? Was it on Raw in England?
Yeah, it was on Raw. It was on Raw,
Is it in England?
I don't remember where it was, but it was on Raw for sure. Yeah. Punk and Hardy, Mysterio and Punk. The Money in the Bank, Cena and Punk. Punk and Jericho, Punk and Daniel Bryan from the Over the Limit pay-per-view. So, some good matches in a documentary.
I gotta say, I think too much of it is too recent for me to really be interested.
In the matches themselves, I would agree with that. I was actually hoping, and you would never get an ROH match on a WWE DVD. But to me, it's I'll
maybe
watch
you would
the
have got, maybe you could have gotten though a Punk versus Daniel Bryan from IWA or whatever it is, IW Mid South or whatever it is there. I don't know.
Punk
versus Chris here. I don't know.
Hero.
Didn't they put on the Benoit and stuff like that and the Eddie DVDs? Didn't they put on matches they didn't own from like Mexico and New Japan, Japan and stuff?
I thought it was just the World's Collide. Yeah, and in New Japan, that's true. I think they did have because they had the alternate commentary with Todd Grisham.
Yeah.
When he said, "How did you get over there?" Like going on a plane.
That was awesome.
I agree. I'll be interested in the documentary and seeing that. So
that'll be interesting. What kinda
does it for me. But did you see the Kevin Nash interview from today?
No.
Oh, Kevin Nash had an interview. What did he? Some of the highlights from Kevin Nash. The day the business died, you know what the day the business died was? The day the business died was the day that Benoit and Eddie were both the champions.
So what did he really say?
That's what he really said, but I'm trying to think of what else.
Can I tell you why he said that? He talked about the Vanilla Midgets like that?
Because they're dead?
Well, that's partially it, yeah. Partially that they're dead, so it's been bad for the business to have those guys be that high profile and die. But really, I think more than that, he's just trying to be controversial to create money. Controversy creates cash. That's all it is. He's trying to get attention. He's trying to create that's all it is. I don't even think he believes that. He's just saying that to get
Yeah, just to be a dick, basically.
And he is a huge one for doing that.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's just he's just trying to get attention.
Yeah. Well, that's the... I mean, I'm just trying to find the exact...
I mean, where is he right now? He's still out there trying to make money, still trying to be on the public eye. He's not going to be back in TNA. He's not going to be back in WWE on screen as a presence.
Well, the article has been done because of a couple of movies that he's done recently and how he's trying to be... and basically the article says anyone other than The Rock has flopped as a wrestler making movies. And so Nash isn't going big. He's just trying to find roles that fit him. But he was talking about...
I wouldn't quite close the door on Steve Austin there yet, but...
I would.
He's in the Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... But, I mean, he won't have a role any bigger than Nash. I mean, his role in The Longest Yard wasn't any bigger than Nash's role in The Longest Yard.
I'm not sure what
his
role will be, but I'm not 100% sure, like I say. We'll see.
I don't see him being any more than a bit player in movies, same as Nash. But they're probably the same agent. The thing was, is he was talking about how, you know, personal finances, like in December of 08 when everything was going down and stuff. And he said, you know, basically when we were going into a depression, he said, I was beyond hyperventilating. This is in December of 08. He said he had to go to the doctor and get Xanax, which because his previous supplier no longer with us. So he said, my guy from Merrill Lynch, my guide from Edward Jones, it's just on paper. So he's talking about finances, which is funny because it's Kevin Nash.
Fuck him.
Yeah, but he's in the movie Magic Man. Probably.
Yeah.
He's in the movie Magic Man. Magic Mike.
Oh, he's in the movie Magic Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, the stripper movie.
Kelly fucked all them, right?
I would assume so.
She also fucked the Magic Men, didn't she?
The who?
Oh, the Orlando Magic. The entire team.
Oh, I thought you said the Magic Man. I'm thinking Don Majinkowski?
Ah. I was thinking Kent Nielsen.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, you know who she is. Cunt Nielsen. not a lot of TNA news. They are going live now. Their extension has gone to the end of September.
Yes. Yes.
So
which is that's I mean that's good. I hope they continue with that. I mean the show has an energy being live.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's good. But
I think come September when people are back in school.
Speaking of Kelly.
yeah, that's an entire month.
Mm-hmm.
I think when people are back in school and if they keep it up and keep doing things and get past the summer holiday where, you know, I mean, summer's not a good time to draw money because it's too hot.
Right. Yeah. I know, and then, but then they're going to get right, I think it'll be exactly the same because then they're right into every Thursday night this year, NFL.
I don't think that matters.
I think it matters as much as summer. I don't see it changing.
I think the ratings are going to continue to have a slight, steady increase. I think you're going to see a 1.4, 1.5 by the end of early next year. Consistently a 1.4, 1.5, which is up from, you know, the 1.15 that they did consistently. Like, it's going to be a slow goal, and it's not going to be huge, but it will mean something to them and to Spike.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean,
do they
exactly.
Do they replay Impact on Spike?
No. No, they
don't. Not at all?
Not at all. Not anymore, no.
That sucks. I was hoping they had a replay the next day, during the day, because in my job now, I'm actually paid to watch Spike TV.
Are you?
Yeah, it's another one of the stations I'm paid to watch. So.
How are those prison shows?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Right now, I've just been watching, like I say, NFL Network.
Yeah. So, well, let's, NFL and I guess they have hardcore.
Talk about prison and prisoners and NFL. I mean, it fits. There's more than one.
That's true. That's true. And Adam Pac-Man Jones. He has a TNA reference there.
There so, it is. We kept wrestling. Good job.
There you go. See, it's what and I did. Hardcore Justice is on this Sunday.
Yeah, can't wait.
7 matches announced.
I can't. Unbelievable how little I care about SummerSlam and how much I think this is, how much fun this is going to be. And like I say, one of the things that's really interesting is this won't even, I know now, this won't even have the same presentation that Impact has. Like that, it no, won't be the crazy camera angles, the setups, the backstage segments. It'll be a straight wrestling card generally. Not a lot of bullshit, and you know what? It's just a lot of good matches that I'm looking forward to watching.
Well, let's get into the matches here then. We'll start off with the one you're probably looking least forward to. Miss Tessmacher versus Madison Rayne.
Yep.
Yeah. And Zema Ion is going to defend against Kenny King.
Yeah. A little interest for that too, but, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and then... And then here is what I think you booked this card. You actually booked this as the main event of the show. Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero against Gunner and Kid Cash.
I'm hungry to see that match.
I bet you are. I'm glad that you were able to actually speak during the show, which means that you were able to take Chavo Guerrero's dick out of your mouth. Oh, I see, man. Austin Aries is going to defend against Bobby Roode, as we all know. Should be a great match.
Hold on. Ow!
Uh-oh.
I told him about that.
It's like a burrito. Then we've got the Bound for Glory series. 3 four-way matches. Falls Count Anywhere match, the Pope against Magnus, against Mr. Anderson, against RVD. Any thoughts coming out of there? Who you think you'd put over that?
I don't know. I'll probably still be sucking Javel off there.
I see. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Ooh, Javel.
Are you going to make that a drop?
I might.
Just like you, who said last year, you're like, what was it? And it was on the best of. You go, I got other things to do on Thursday nights. I won't be watching Impact. I'll be washing my hair. I'll be sucking a guy's dick. And I was like, I know. And then I pause. I go, did you say you'd be sucking a guy's dick?
I did. I did.
Is it Chavo?
No, it was bigger than that.
Because he's mine.
I know. Mine.
Fuck, this show has gone off my cliff.
I know. This is a pay-per-view you're excited about.
I'm not sucking Chavo's dick. I think he has potential to have a good second run in his career, final run in his career over at TNA. Like, he's got, like I say, up semi-main event potential.
You said semi.
Fuck you.
James Storm versus Bully Ray versus Jeff Hardy versus Robbie E in a tables match. Robbie E. In a tables match.
Yeah. I put... Who is it again? Say it one more time.
James Storm, yep. Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy, and Robbie E.
So yeah, Jeff Hardy should get the Duke here. What was the match before with RVD and Pope and...
Magnus and Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson should get the Duke there?
I would think so, eh? Yeah. Now, Aces and Eights, are they involved in this James Storm tables match?
Yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah, you're right.
Like, so, that to me, I don't know if...
Are we going to see a Jeff Jarrett versus James Storm feud as the ultimate thing here, or... A Bound for Glory match, or
I think it's going to be more of a
I think they know. I mean, they're still kind of building Roode and Storm, but now that I think they know that Austin Aries is working as champ.
Yeah, but I think you could still, I think you could still do Rude versus Storm non-title, and just the way that like Storm or Rude, you convince everybody that I'd turned my back on them, and I hadn't, because eventually I think then the Aces and Eights would beat on Storm, right?
Yeah.
So I could see that. You know, then you've got the match I'm looking most forward to, AJ, Daniels, Joe, and Angle in a ladder match.
That'll be just awesome. And
I assume Joe has to win.
I don't think so. You have to keep in mind, these are 20-point matches. If he gets that, he's almost too big a lead.
Well, I mean, James Storm is the current leader.
Yeah.
Right? So, I'm just trying to find the...
Bound for Glory. Bound for Glory.
Up the standings there. I've got them somewhere here.
Okay.
But James Storm had, I think, 10 matches, and
BFG standings. One day ago.
There you go.
I'll just pull shit up for you.
Oh.
People love it when people are surfing the internet on these things. Yeah, Storm is number one at 66 points.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets another 20, it gets a lot of separation.
Who's next?
Samoa Joe is 47. Kurt Angle is 41. Anderson has 40. Hardy is 35.
Okay, so you said Anderson, Hardy, and then who? Kurt's in there, is he?
Yeah, Kurt's in there. Yeah, he's got 41.
Same as Joe? Or same as...
He's in third place. Joe has 47. Anderson has 40.
And how much does Storm have?
66.
Okay, yeah, so he can't win.
He's got a 25-point lead.
He can't win.
19-point lead right now. But, yeah, that's why I think he can't win.
Well, see, that's where I could see Anderson, Hardy, and Joe winning these.
And that makes it very close, yeah.
Because then you can have your four guys start to pull away. Because after this pay-per-view, there's only going
to
be a month.
I think it's more likely to be Anderson, Hardy, and Angle.
I just think Joe, and if you're going to do it, then, I mean, I guess you could do, well,
Look,
Joe,
the top two contenders to face Aries at BFG are, the top three are obviously Samoa Joe, Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, and Chavo Guerrero.
Right, yeah. What a dick that guy is. But, the only hard part about this, speaking of Chavo and you, is the fact
slurp.
Mr. Anderson is in there because it's Magnus, Pope, Anderson, and Rob Van Dam.
I can't fucking believe we're letting all this gay stuff about me going to go out on the air. And I'm encouraging it.
You can't?
This will be my last show ever. I think you could see a guy like... they might have a guy like AJ make a last run. So who knows? They might have a guy like that. Or RVD, who's a little farther down also. But, I think the two top choices... I don't think they're going to go Samoa Joe, even though he's getting a nice push against Aries, because we saw it recently. So I think Angle and Hardy are the two fresh matchups for Aries.
Yeah, I would agree. And I guess so. Then I guess Kurt has to win the ladder match.
One of the things that's very interesting here is James Storm is number one, Samoa Joe number two, Kurt Angle three, Anderson four, Jeff Hardy five, RVD six. So that means of the 12 people in it, the first heel is the seventh ranked guy. And we have a babyface champion. Does that matter at all? Or is that one of the nice things about TNA? That doesn't really matter.
I think it's a nice thing about TNA. I think it's a nice thing about Austin Aries is like Punk, you know, he's got a bit of a tweener spot to him. He just happens to be fighting faces, you know.
I think he has
and
less
so,
of a tweener spot than Punk. I actually, after this last episode, I think he doesn't have much. I don't think Aries right now has any tweener in him. I don't think Punk does either, really. After
I just think that in terms of the persona is all.
Yeah.
That Aries can you know, you can be realistic when you say Aries fighting a babyface or a heel, and I can buy either one of them.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, but again, that also speaks to TNA as well. So.
Yeah, it's about competition, the best match, and whatever. They build it that way. So, You know, like I say, more like UFC, I want to see the two best guys fight each other. I don't care who's a babyface and who's a heel all the time.
Well, that's right. Exactly. Just good. I want some competition.
Yeah, me too.
So. But yeah, okay. Well, that's Hardcore Justice. So that'll be this Sunday. So we'll have our post show recap on Sunday.
Do you think Aries continues to hold the title, or they put it back on Rude?
You know, I guess I don't know. Then that's the nice part to me.
Yeah.
Is that I don't know, and I like either way. I actually like Aries holding it more, only because if Rude wins it, it kind of, to me, telegraphs James Storm winning the Bound for Glory series. And so...
Which you still might get, and you might get James Storm against Aries, or James Storm in a three-way match against the two of them as well.
Well, no, it's possible, but I just think that...
You have a lot of
possibilities
here, yeah.
For the whole... I think the way that TNA does things, though, with our long-term planning, though, is that this is...
The plan was always Storm and Rude. I think the success of Aries may have thrown a little. I think they may change their mind. I think they might call an audible here.
Well, the only thing, and I would agree with that, but I think the only audible that they would call is that Storm and Rude would not be for the title then.
Probably. There is another possibility that they think, okay, we can take the title off Austin and give it back to him in 4 to 6 months. They might think that when everything else.
Well, there is. That's very true as well, right? So, but yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't even mind if Kenny King is the champion, the ex-champion, that you have Kenny King in Aries then for the ex-title.
In a year's time, that storyline-wise, they could build towards that, yeah.
Oh, I just mean a Bound for Glory with the story that their friends in Aries is trying to get the title back so he can hold it until next Destination X again.
That's actually, I like that too, yeah. Yeah, that works.
You know, so there's lots of possibilities. But
especially,
yeah, especially
with the fact that we don't really know when Sorensen is coming back.
Well, it's going to be a little while, so you can kind of get rid of, you don't have to have Ion holding it for, you know, forever at this point.
No, not at this point.
So.
It's the right idea for him to hold it when Sorensen comes back, but that doesn't have to be for a while.
Exactly. So that's the TNA story. We've got. I guess we can end things over on with the SmackDown spoilers.
Yeah. We had another question, and we'll save it because we're going long as we usually do. Our one question we had this week was great, so we'll get to our other question. Actually, not the other one we were gonna do. We have a shitload of a backlog of questions, but that's cool. I like that because that means we don't have to answer them all. We can just answer the ones that are best. So if you think you got the best question, you can email me, mo@wetalkpodcast.com. That's MONOE or mo_wetalk. See, now that I did it now, I won't have to do it at the end.
That's good. Way to save time. Let's have a look here. So SmackDown opens with Booker T. Talking about Sheamus taking Alberto's car, says Sheamus should apologize. Sheamus comes out and apologizes. Del Rio threatens trouble with the police. So Booker grants Del Rio a world heavyweight title shot for the main event of SmackDown.
Fuck off.
It's true.
Fuck right off. No way.
Well, just wait.
They're not that
Sin Cara, just wait. Sin Cara beats Cody... Sin Cara beats Cody Rhodes in a quick match. Rhodes kept trying to take off Sin Cara's mask.
So, oh, are they going to do that again?
I have no idea. Christian defeated Antonio Cesaro with a spear. Cesaro attacked Christian after the match and beat him all around the ring. Okay. So I don't know what that means.
That doesn't mean anything for SummerSlam, but it'll mean something for a SmackDown feud and maybe a post-SummerSlam pay-per-view match, but most likely it's just a mid-card. Most likely it's just a mid-card TV feud, which is what Sandow was probably going to be as well. That's
awesome. Yeah, but I think that Cesaro should beat Santino in the opener at the YouTube show of SummerSlam to win the U.S. title, and then him and Christian could be for that.
I'd like that too. Yeah.
Randy Orton beat Jack Swagger in a quick match, shockingly. Yes.
Jack Swagger, though, is another one of those guys like Sandow who just hasn't given up. He's just hungry, you know?
Yeah, he should just give up.
Yeah, he has.
Rex and Hawkins walk in to Booker T's office, and Booker says only the best are welcome to perform on Friday nights. And Rex tried to plead his case but gets ignored. So that's wonderful.
That's terrible. I mean, even on this Monday, you noticed how they had matching tights and everything. You're like, this is a team. Use them. Use them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Useless. Jinder Mahal squashed two local guys.
So he's doing the Ryback gimmick to build up that
match?
Well,
he attacked. It said he attacked him after the bell. Ryback ran out and chased him off. Then Ryback came back in the ring and hit his move on the two local guys, and apparently Ryback got a bigger pop doing the run-in than he had for his matches, so...
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Doesn't mean a fucking thing.
No. Jericho hosts a highlight reel with Vicky. Jericho shows footage of Ziggler losing to Alex Riley. Vicky challenges Jericho to a match at SummerSlam. Jericho says he's bringing Y2J back, and he accepts the match. Jericho then runs through the crowd.
He already said he was Y2J on commentary on Monday.
Okay, well, there you go. He ran through the crowd and laid out Jericho with the briefcase from behind again.
Okay.
So, Eve is in with Booker T, who refuses to hire her again. Caitlin comes in, and Booker says that he would hire her. Then something happens that makes Eve versus Caitlin next week, and the winner gets to be Booker T's assistant.
I could give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Primetime players beat Primo and Epico.
You know, Eve
by
is
DQ.
Winning as well.
Sure. In a number one contenders match.
I'm sorry, what was that? Repeat that, please.
Primetime players beat Primo and Epico by DQ. In a number one contenders match.
Does that mean they now get two title shots no matter what they do?
No, they already got their title shot and lost it.
Oh, did they? When was that?
Yeah. I don't know, a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Kofi and R-Truth interfered from commentary. AEW threw a drink on them, and so the Truth and Kofi ran in, so that's what got Primo and Epico disqualified. Then Primo and Epico argued with Kofi and Truth after the match. Then they aired the weight.
By the way, I just got to say, on Raw, Kofi and Truth coming out in suits just looks stupid. It doesn't suit them. Yeah, especially Truth. Well, I think both of them. It just doesn't suit their persona and personality.
Literally.
Yes, it just doesn't suit them. Yes, very nice. I did that on purpose.
Did you?
Yeah, you bet. But no, it's not good.
No. Let's see. Another Wade Barrett return promo.
A different one, or?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
And then Ray beat The Miz in a non-title match.
So that'll be at SummerSlam. Oh, by the way, what do you think of The Miz losing to Kane on Monday clean?
The same way he loses to Rey Mysterio clean?
Good point, but at least that's building to something. At least that's probably building.
Well, we don't know that.
Good point.
We don't know that anything's building to anything. It's just.
Good point.
It's further denigration of the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
WeTalkWrestling.com looks at the greatest Intercontinental champions of all time.
Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com did.
Yes.
I read it.
I know.
Well, not yet.
What'd you think? Oh.
It was great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, people.
Anyways, go on.
Daniel Bryan calls out AJ, but Kane comes out instead. Then eventually AJ comes out, and and then Kane just knocks Brian out, and they had to retape some of AJ coming out and skipping, apparently.
She can even fuck up skipping.
Apparently. Well, she hasn't fucked up anything that we've seen so far.
Yeah, no, that's true. Except for laughing at Slick. But who could blame her?
Well, yeah. But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? So, then police come to the ring, and Alberto Del Rio stops him because he wants his title shot. Sheamus tries to fight the cops, but they get the best of him. Del Rio joins in and beats Sheamus down, working on his arm and applying the cross arm breaker. Trainers come out to help Sheamus to the back as the show goes off the air. Again.
Yeah.
So Sheamus will be fine on Monday.
Yeah, because last time they did that with him, that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They've done this. Remember when he attacked him on the stage? Put his
oh, yeah, with the car.
Yeah, he was fine.
Exactly.
It's WWE.
Well, and it's just... So, but I mean, again, who knows? I mean, you would have thought
at
that
least
the
they
last...
didn't have the fucking match.
Well, no, that's very true. I mean, at least you would have thought
Lex Luger was going to pin Hogan for the title right before the match, and he did.
And he did.
Yeah, and then lost it again at the pay per view.
Yeah. Well, Kidd and Gabriel beat Hawkins and Rex in the Superstars match, and Kofi beats Heath Slater. In the Superstars match, that's about it. I guess it's not much else in the way of anything really important. I don't think. I'm just looking to see if there's anything else that we missed. Apparently, it was the Barrett video from Raw.
Okay.
That they played, so the same one. And Barrett beats Zack Ryder in a dark match, so...
Okay.
That's the SmackDown spoilers. Doesn't look like...
Looks like
I don't really have to watch for.
No, it's not a must-see at all, is it?
No, not... I was going to say not really, but yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
So
what are you going to do? All right, we got anything else to do?
What are you going
to
do? No, I was going to say, WeTalkWrestling.com got... a lot of good stuff up there, so check
there
it out.
There is, you know what? And if you want to know what else, you want to give me your opinion on what else we should do, or you want to tell me how great I am, you can reach me at mo@wetalkpodcast.com or mo@wetalk. I thought I should just throw that out there at least once.
Just another day with an empty mailbox for you, won't it be?
We're OET.
Yeah, so it's ADDIE. @WeTalkWrestling.com for me, or @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, where you can like us. You can add us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can add us on Stitcher for your mobile device as well. So lots of places to.
Well, before
to get
we leave,
us,
I should give my email and Twitter.
Oh, you have an email? Huh. ChunkyLover34@AOL.
I'm just glad you didn't say Chavo Dicksucker 34.
What? No, you're first for that.
Fuck you. Anyways, we're
I will have to see. I'm going to do this, I think that's it.
Yeah,
so,
and,
in the meantime...
I'm straight, and Addie's gay. Just thought I'd get that out there. What? It's true.
You're not straight. You're round. Mm. Yes, if anybody's straight, it's my... Anyway, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Fuck
good night,
folks.
Boobs.